Today I wish to come to the second part, and most properly the last part of this seminar. As I told you, there's more, but I wish to leave you today with something very practical that you can take home with you. So, by the way, I think perhaps more devotees will come if you come closer, even the Matajis. You're from the same family. You can come close. So good. Hare Krishna, Mathura Nanda, Hare Bol. Responsive, so we become enthusiastic. This is very good. And, continue, become more enthusiastic. But here's a certain, you will see why. When you find a very enthusiastic neighbor, you can just say, later. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Gopi Jan
na vallava girivadana Yasodhanandana Vrajajanarandana Yasodhanandana Vrajajanarandana Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Sing this kirtan, my dear devotees. Let me suggest a very interesting method. Try to practice being alone with Krishna. That is, as you sing, you are aware this is not a group activity, although it is. But Krishna is interested or is willing, let us say like this, to reciprocate with you. So, alone in a crowd with Krishna. This is a paradoxical concept, but it works very nice. Alone with all of us. That means everyone is addressing Krishna. Please let us start now. Hare Krishna. Krishna.
Oh,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Keshava Maharaj said to us in Switzerland, when we want to transform or when we change, we face our habits. No? Habit is very strong. Even if you take the age away, you still have a bit. And even if you take the A away, of the word habit, a bit still remains. You know? So yes, and it is therefore very hard to change. Yesterday we left you on a positive note. It is possible to change, not by our own strengths, if we go on our own steam, but if we apply the five processes which we have attained at initiation properly. Do you remember the five processes? Let's see if we can all bring it together. Starting with Urdhvapundra. Urdhvapundra, what is that? To commitment to a specific spiritual path. And how do you show that? Tilak, yes. In the temple, especially. When you come to temple ceremonies, I see some of your heads are empty. Means there's no tilak, you know. So, sorry, little joke is important. Next, tapa. What are our traditional austerities? Four regulative principles, yes. And I would like to add, try to get up in the morning. Really, please, in your own research, find out the benefits of doing this. You will see your day looks totally different. Tapa, the next. Nama, which refers to two things, holy names and your own name. Yes, you should say I'm no longer Maya Das or Maya Dasi. I'm actually Krishna Das or Amrita Radha Gopi Super Madhurya Rasa Devi Dasi. You know. So I'm changed. Then next was mantra. Yes, we have a lot of mantras here. Main is Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which combines the effect of a mantra and also the holy name. And finally, Yagya. Very good. You have learned everything. Now I need to ask you a question. Now, normally when we ask questions, sometimes, not more normally, the crowd responds with Hari Bol. This is not such a question. It requires you to think deep, deep. I want to ask you the question, who of you wants to change? No, wrong. It is such a difficult question. Who of you wants changes in their lives? Everyone, I think, many. Now the second question, but now it doesn't work because I said it wrong. Who of you wants to change? I don't know if you understood the question already. Usually everyone wants changes. May the war stop in the Ukraine. May ISKCON become a better society. May there be weather change. It was so good yesterday. Why now so gloomy? But although we often want changes, when it comes to changing ourselves, we are often a little hesitant. For instance, you know, to get up early, that's not an easy one. You have to look again at your whole life. To put in the energy to make personal changes requires a talk with God, you know, or a talk with your good friends. Everyone wants changes, but no one wants to change, and therefore not many things change. We have Rinali has written something for us here. Yes, it is here. There are a few blocks to changes, things which make it difficult to change. One is, one thinks a change is really not needed. I'm okay the way I am. A much more difficult thing to address is change is actually not possible. I tried so many times. Yes, I can sit in an enthusiastic class and I can go, wow. But I know myself. Something which is even more difficult or dangerous is the understanding change happens automatically. I do not know your generation of devotees, where you, because you're a little younger, but I know from my generation, we thought, well, I just need to be an ISKCON and then everything happens automatically. You find often amongst older devotees, they have this discussion, oh, how can we make advancement? Oh, well, we have to think about, someone says, anatta nivritti. We have to think about becoming steady. And what is about attachment to Krishna. But then some devotee will say, this is too complicated. We just need to hold on to Prabhupada's dhoti and automatically I will be changed. Have you heard this philosophy?
Yes.
Why then is it that amongst so many thousands of disciples, there are only a few still active in the service of Prabhupada? Has it happened automatically? This automatic idea is true. When you practice the philosophy and the instructions properly, then there is a strength that moves you forward despite your weaknesses. But the idea, I just need to sit in the and just have perhaps a tilak or a nicely shaven head, at least during festivals, it may not happen automatically. Another block to change is, change is really too painful. It's too difficult. I know I'm now, I'm in the process of trying to get up really early, and I'm so tired all the time. It's really not easy for me in my situation. But yes, it's really, we often like to go the easy way and then ignore the tapa part, no? And then not so good. So there are a few blocks for personal change, and it might be good if you think which one of the blocks is working in you. Why are you not where you wish to be at this present moment in your spiritual life? And you might like to address it. Today I will give you a very, very important thing which in my mind and my experience makes change possible in an easy way. Don't want to say how to speak Hindi in one day, you know, fluently. There is no formula like this which makes things like this. But it is a pleasing way, a pleasurable way. What we need for profound changes is a trigger of change. And I would like to give you something that goes like this and then change. It is in some way a little magical, because a trigger uses universal principles which are very powerful. I would like to give you an example from Bengal. There is one healthy sugar, so-called healthy, all sugar is creating acidity, but this one is less. It's called jaggery. Who of you knows jaggery? Lord Nrsimhadev's favorite drink, what was it again? Panakam. Have you drunk some panakam? Yes, please, everyone who has not drunk panakam, your visit to Nrsimha or Singhachalam is not complete without panakam. Go to the you know, around where the before room of the altar is around, and ask, do you have some panakam? But most probably they have stored it away already, the pujaris, because it's so good. It is with jaggery. It is, I had a whole thing, I broke my fast with panakam, and I was the most happy person in the Singhachalam, I believe. So it is made from jaggery, from sugar cane. What is a jaggery? Sugar cane? Sugar. Can you help me? Sugar cane? Sugar cane, just sugar cane it's called. So this sugar is gained by cooking the stalks of sugar cane, you know, these long things, but you're really boiling them so that all the sugar comes out, and then you remove the plant from the boiling wat, and then you boil more, and then you get a thick molasses. Do you know what is molasses? The brown substance. When you grab in it, it goes, it's really sticky, you know. So when you have this brown molasses, you have this in Bengal, in these big, big warts, then magic can happen if you have one little rock candy. You know, as children, at least we, if we like to have our mouth full with rock candy. So you throw it into the molasses, and that triggers a reaction. It goes, you can hear it, and it builds this sugar. No? And an ingredient which you add to your to the molasses transforms it entirely. In spiritual life, there are a few of these triggers that if you add them, you the sound may be different. The sound may be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, that may be the sound, not any cheeky sound. But there are some triggers that bring about transformation, and they are wonderful. It is almost working despite of you. You know, it works on you. Today, yesterday we talked about the processes of bhakti, but there is one which is even more powerful than the processes of bhakti. And to build up the tension a little, I will not give it away so easily. It will come towards the end. I want to tell you about a person who was almost, who was the most unlikely person to transform. And I want to tell you his story and how he came in contact with this powerful trigger of transformation and then actually made it. He actually transformed. He was already a little old, but it worked. Perhaps you know, I have to see here my notes. There were three brothers. One was born blind. His name was Dhritarashtra. The other was born pale. He was born in India, but his color of skin was this white. His name was Panu. And the third brother was Vidura. Now these brothers were very different from each other. Very different. Perhaps as different as me and my brother. But my brother is very advanced. There's a good brother. But and as you will see, psychologically, you will have both of the brothers who were so diametrically opposed, who were really, really, really different, you will have them inside of you. They live inside of you. The first brother, he was firstborn. His name was Dhritarashtra. I told you already yesterday his land. He was always in a victim mentality. He was, because he was born blind, he felt life had not been nice to him. Because although he was the firstborn brother, firstborn, yes, due to the loss of the kingdom, he could not become the next king because of the being blind. His younger brother, what was his name? Pandu became the emperor. And this were vast tracts of lands with vast riches. The main town was Hastinapur, the town of elephants. At that time, every kingdom would measure its wealth by the amount of elephants they had. Brown elephants, gray elephants and especially white elephants. To keep an elephant is not possible for any one of us. It makes you poor overnight. They eat so much. So therefore, the wealth of a kingdom was seen by how many elephants they kept in their elephant stables. And this kingdom was so rich that the main town was named after the amount, after the elephants. It was called Hastinapur, the city of elephants. Very regal, majestic elephants. Dhritarashtra could have it all, but because he was blind, he didn't get it. He had to give the kingdom to his younger brother Pandu, and he always felt like a victim. Now it's so, they had a third brother, it was Vidura, who was extremely wise. He was really a saint with a turban of a minister on his head. He was saintly, he was fair, he was just, he was wise and far-seeing. Now it so happened that Pandu, who inherited the kingdom, died at a very young age. And Dhritarashtra, who had 100 sons, thought, I would love that at least my sons would get the kingdom, which was denied by cruel fate to me. Vidura met him one day and said, you know, Pandu has 5 very powerful children. They are conceived by the devatas. They are almost divine beings. They are a mixture between humans and devatas. You know, because they are the sons of the rightful king, they are the rightful emperor. You have to, they are the rightful rulers, not your sons. At least you have to give them half of the kingdom if you can't give them all. But Dhritarashtra, his name means he was attached to land, grabbed all the kingdom, gave it to his sons, who were led by one really big rascal. What was his name? Duryodhana. Yeah, when he was born, he brayed like an donkey, an embryo, which makes these sounds. You go like, oh, and run, you know. He was a demon. He was a Kali personified. But Dhritarashtra became so blinded by his love to his evil son Duryodhana that one day Duryodhana convinced him. He said, Father, these Pandavas, I know they're the sons of Pandus, the previous emperor. I know they should get, they by fairness, they should have all the kingdom, but they should get at least a large point. But they, as long as they are there, I can't be peaceful. We have to kill them. And in this way, Dhritarashtra, who should have been like a loving uncle, became the enemy of the Pandavas. And he made all kinds of plans with Duryodhana to assassinate his what are they called, nephews. No? When they were young, my dear devotees, he was part of building a huge palace of highly inflammable shellac. And he said to the Pandavas, why don't you go inside the palace. You know, it is very stressful to be here in Hastinapur. There's always quarrel with your other nephews. You go to this place in the forest. There is a pleasurable forest. Building made of. You will like it. He didn't say what it was made of. So they went inside. And then there was a night where one man was going to put fire to the building so that the Pandavas and their mother would be killed by fire. Eine Feuersbrunst, sagt man in Deutsch. In the night. Now Vidura saw this, and the evening before the night, he sat down and wrote a letter to the Pandavas. And it reached the Pandavas before they took rest. And the letter said, "Be aware, there is a weapon that kills faster than the sword." And Yudhishthira, Uncle Vidura, he's warning us, what is, you know, Vidura was a minister, he had to write a letter in case it was caught, no one would understand what he had written. But Yudhishthira was intelligent, what? Then he somehow banged against the walls of the palace and it made a hello sound. Bang! And he knew, oh no, it's shellac, it's not stone, it is highly inflammable. Now I see the plan, they want to burn us alive. Let's get out of the palace, brothers. So they got out of the palace in the night. In the night. There was other plans. What do you consider the worstest plan? Where do you dance? Where Dhritarashtra said, okay, to get rid of the Pandavas. You all know it. The gambling game. All the five Pandavas and their wife were invited in the hall of gambling. And Yudhishthira could not say no because he was a Kshatriya and all. And in that gambling match, which was played with loaded dice, means cheating dice, they lost everything, including their wife Draupadi. Dhritarashtra, the old blind monarch, said, "Tika, make this gambling game." He was so much driven by hatred, by illusion. Vidura said, "Brother, you are so evil by siding with Duryodhan, your son. You have left all fairness. This is not right." Duryodhana overheard this. He jumped into the palace and said, "Vidura, we have kept you in this palace as the minister, but you were always on the side of my enemies, the Pandavas." Yes, you get the main line of the story. "You were always on the side of my pen. So in recognition of your loyal service to the throne of Hastinapur, we will not kill you, but we will strip everything away from you. We will take everything away from you. We will leave you only with your breath." Vidura heard this offense. Now most of us, if he would have been treated so much, would feel hurt. But he was so wise, he had no ego really. He saw, this is the plan of the Lord, to detach me from this evil gang of monarchs, of rulers. He took his bow, he left it at the main entrance gate to the palace, and he went for a pilgrimage. He did not take part in the war of Kurukshetra, which came as a consequences of this evil doing. He left before, and he was on pilgrimage. So during all this time, everyone tried to change the mind of Dhritarashtra. The night before the Kurukshetra war, where the two armies of the Pandavas and of the Kauravas, led by Duryodhana, would hit on each other. The night before, Krishna came and said to Dhritarashtra, "Don't you know as a consequence to the bad ruling of you and your sons, the Pandavas are now going to make war against you because they need to have something to rule. This is their dharma. A man without dharma is dead. They will fight. And I'm the chariot driver of Arjuna." "Oh, what do you want me to do?" said Dhritarashtra. He was blind. "You just drive out. Don't listen any longer to Duryodhana. You can avoid the slaughter of millions of good kshatriyas if you are just reasonable and fair. Don't side with your evil son Duryodhana." And then this Dhritarashtra gave this answer. He said, "Vasudev, when you speak to me, my darkness," you know, he was doubly blind, physically and spiritually, "is removed. Just like when there is a flash of lightning, the darkness is removed of the night. But when your words are gone, when you have gone some other place, I can't hold the truth any longer in my mind, and as a result, I am again acting foolishly. I think this is so deep, I could cry when I hear this, because I am like this also. When I'm here on the festival, my dear devotees, I feel just so blissful. I feel there's only Krishna. I feel also Krishna is there for me, because I know when I stand before the altar and pray to Lord Nrisimhadev, there's a relationship going on. Have you also experienced that?" "Yes." "This is not a distant God, somewhere removed from humanity. He is a close God. He's just there on the altar, and he listens to the prayers and so on." But then, just yesterday, someone came to me and said, "I know when I drive home, the old me will be there. And the old me will stand before the new me and my soul and control my life again." He asked this devotee, "Do you have a solution for me?" I said, "Come for tomorrow's class, if you can, or get a tape recording." What is it? MP3 recording? The recording. So, after the battle of Kurukshetra, who won?
Pandavas.
The Pandavas, yes. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Dhritarashtra was still alive. What had happened with his 100 sons? They were all killed by Bhima. All or some of them?
All.
Can you imagine what this does to a father? It breaks his heart. So now it was clear the Pandavas had won, and the eldest Pandava, Yudhishthira, would be the rightful emperor of the kingdom, which he was always. But there was no obstacle. So Dhritarashtra, at the old blind monarch needed to congratulate the Pandavas. He said, okay, come forward, my children. And he gave a hug to Yudhishthira. You are fair. Please forgive all the bad words of my son and myself. Arjuna, come forward. Let me embrace you. And Arjuna came forward. Pandavas were so kind and innocent. They were crying at the shoulder of Dhritarashtra with empathy. And now, said Dhritarashtra, Bhima, my son, come forward. Krishna said to Bhima, no. And he sent someone to go in the practice hall, the gymnasium, what is it called, fitness hall of the you know, where Duryodhana would train his fighting skills with the club. He had an iron statue of Bhimasena, and he would he would train 6 hours a day how to kill Bhima with this iron statue. So Krishna said, bring that statue. And Dhritarashtra, my son Bhim, where are you? So the statue was brought. It was brought, oh, I can feel you. And then all the hurt from the killing of the sons, you know, all the hurt, all the revenge came again into Dhritarashtra. And crying with agony, he pressed the iron statue against his chest and he broke it. His arms were full of blood. His chest was full of blood. And he was standing there. Krishna said, you broke the iron statue. Don't cry. I don't know if you get it. Krishna felt sympathy. Because how could you not feel sympathy with someone who's overcome so much by Maya? He didn't think, it didn't work. No, that was not the idea. These are elevated personalities, my dear devotees. And you don't need to cry. You didn't kill your nephew, Bhimasena. There was such uncontrollable rage in the heart. So Dhritarashtra lived after this in the palace of the five Pandavas. He had his own, not in the palace, he had a separate palace. And he was very, very, very... dependent on Yudhishthira. Now, Vidura, who was it? The younger brother, no? He came back from his pilgrimage and he thought, everyone has tried, even Krishna has tried and failed to change my brother Dhritarashtra's mind. Let me try one more time. So he came into the palace. Everyone who saw him was brought to life, and he told about his pilgrimage, Mother Ganga, and how he had met Maitreya Rishi. And then he said, I need to go to my brother Dhritarashtra. And he went after taking a shower to the brother, and then he spoke. Would you like to know what he said?
Yes.
My dear devotees, listen carefully and keep in mind what you have heard, no? Dhritarashtra, I'm surprised that you live in the palace of those whom you tried to kill many times. Dhritarashtra, don't you see Kala, time, whose Bhagavan, Krishna, no? You know, Kalosmi, when Krishna was asked by Arjuna, who are you, what did he say? I am time. Yes, yes. Don't you see, time has approached you. You will have to surrender your dear life very soon. Now look at you. Your body is overtaken by invalidity. Is it invalidity? Old age. Your teeth are shaking. You always have. Already you are blind. Now you have become hard of hearing. Your memory has shortened. Your intelligence is disturbed. The teeth are loose. Your liver is defective. This is quite private, no? You are coughing up mucus. But you live such a degraded life. You are living on the charity of those who you have tried to kill by fire, by poisoning, by insulting their wife, by stealing their kingdom. Alas! Peter Russia started to shake. These were strong words, you know. Alas, you look like a griha pala vat. What is that? Well, what is this? It's the words of a sadhu. But what griha pala vat is, you will hear in a word. You can't get. It's a very bad word, you know. So, the words of a sadhu are like razor, but his heart is always like butter, full of compassion. The words of a politician, on the other side, is like butter. Oh, everything will become better when you elect me. But his heart is like a razor. Do you have a sadhu in your life who addresses you with the words which you might need to wake up and to cut the strong ropes of attachment? We will ask this question a little later again. You are living like a griha pala vat, that means a household dog, and you are eating the remnants of the food which is given by Bhima, who killed all your 100 sons. You are speaking very strong. Leave immediately. Go to the north. That's where you. In the north is the Himalayas. So go to the north. We all have a bit of Dhritarashtra in us, a victim mentality. We are weak. We are ruled by our emotions, by our desires, by our fears. We are fearful. We have grudges against others. He had a grudge against who? Bhima, yes, and the Pandavas. And we are ruled by our attachments. But we also have something of Vidura in us. We are grateful. We are flexible. We are fearless. We can forgive, or at least we try. We have an openness. So there is sometimes a fight between our conditioned nature, our material nature, and our wise nature, our more spiritual nature. Do you feel this fight sometimes? Yes. Definitely, no? Oh, I should forgive this person, says one nature. And the other answers back, no, 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 no. Never, 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 never. And revenge is the sweetest dish and it must be served cold. Why did you laugh? Did you understand what it means to serve it cold? Later, when it's not cooked any longer, when it has cooled down, after some time, wait, and then all of a sudden, revenge. We all have these parts in us. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little because we are all tired and we need to feel a little thorn in our brain. So, yes. we have this, and what helps us is when our spiritual nature gets awakened. And this happens by the words of a sadhu who is like a rose. Our Keshava Maharaj found this beautiful verse which tells us what the words of the sadhu can awaken in us. What strength that was sleeping before can be aroused by the words of a sadhu. Can I sing it for you in Sanskrit, please? Evam Raja Vidu. Oh, now I don't know the word. Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena Pragna Shakshu Bodhita Ajamida Chitvasveshu Sneha Pashan Dradimno Nischakrama Bratri Sandar Shitadya. Here's a word. The words of the sadhu can give you your new eyes. Pragya Shakshu. Pragya Shakshu means the eyes of introspective knowledge. Can I read the verse for you, please? Thus, so when Dhritarashtra heard this and he felt strength coming back, the strength which we didn't have all this time. Thus, Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the son of the family of Ajamida, firmly convinced by introspective knowledge, broke at once the strong network of familial attachment by his resolute determination. Thus, he immediately left home to set out on the path of liberation as directed by his younger brother Vidura. Yes. Prabhupada comments, Maharaj Dhritarashtra was tightly bound in a network of material affinities. This means like attachments related to politics, money, that means economy, and family attachments. And he did everything in his power to achieve so-called success in his planet projects. But what did he get? He was frustrated from the beginning to the end, so far as his material activities were concerned. And yet, despite his life of failure, he achieved the greatest of all success in self-realization by the forceful instructions of a pure devotee of the Lord, who is the typical emblem of a sadhu. The scriptures enjoin, therefore, that one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all other kinds of association. And by doing so, one will have ample opportunity. There will be many opportunities to hear the sadhus who can cut to pieces the bonds of illusory affection in the material world. I would love you to read this verse. It's a beautiful verse. Please make a note if you have the possibility. It is here. In the first canto, 13th chapter, text 29. It's easy to remember. 1 is the beginning of the numbers. Then 13. There were 13 wild men. You can remember by this. And then 2 and 9. 2 is the half of 4. And 9 is 3 times 3. This is how I remember numbers. I don't know if it's maybe simpler to remember it in a straightforward way. So it's 1, 13:29. And especially important is the purport, Prabhupada's purport. There you can find out this trigger. Remember our little talk, our little example from about molasses? What is that? Sugarcane syrup, really. And and when you threw what into the molasses? Rock candy. It triggers a transformative effect. When you can open your heart to the forceful words of the sadhus, another effect happens. First, your bond to illusion is cut. But this can only happen if pragya shakshu is awakened, that is introspective knowledge. My dear devotees, we have heard almost an overdoses from philosophy, but have not changed. Perhaps because we are missing this little thing, pragya shakshu, introspective knowledge. When you read Srila Prabhupada's books, hear his lectures, or have an association of a real devotee, you have to catch what he's telling you. You have to think about it in an introspective way. It's called manana. You have to and think, what does this mean for my life? And then when you find out what it means to you for your life, then something can happen. Usually you have to ask yourself three questions. What will happen to me if I don't change? If everything stays the same? Where will I be in 20 years? This is a good question, introspective question. Then you have to ask the question, what will be the benefit of changing? No? What will happen if I don't change? What will be the benefit of change? And then you have to ask the third question. We are in introspection, right? The third question is, what are doable small steps for me? Here, in the Singhachalam, at the festival, I would like to request you to build just a group of two, even those who didn't do it yesterday. Please find a neighbor, and then I will ask you a question. Have you all found a neighbor? Good. It would be nice. Rinali, are you here? Could you maybe write down the three questions? I will tell them to you. This is Rinali from London. She is the wife of Ambarish. And she has a good handwriting, whereas Ambarish well, with effort something is possible, yeah. But great effort is necessary, yeah. So the first question which I would like you to ask: what would be the benefit if I change something? Oh, a little bigger, Rinali, because, yes. What would be benefit of change? The second question I would like you to deal with. Would be benefit, finish, yes. Then, what would be the possible outcome if I don't change? Outcome of not changing, for instance. Oh, yeah, okay, we can. Rinaldi writes down, and then after it, I also forget everything then, which is not written down. So, and the last question, third question, are you ready? You can just write doable steps. What can I do? Small step. I think only one step is good enough for the beginning, because one step will bring a second step. So please discuss these three questions with your partner. I see some of you typing them into the mobile distraction machine. That's a very good idea. You can ask them. Yeah. Doable steps. Thank you. Very nice, Rinaldi. Very nice. So please start now to discuss this. First question first, second question second, and then final question.
Thank you. The question is, should we even try? Hare Krishna, one moment. Do you need, is it all right? Or do you need more time? Have you come to the possible steps you can take?
Yes.
I hear more time? Yes. No, less time? why don't we, you know, you can be a little bit turbo. Two more minutes, no? Please. Krishna. Wow, you're coming alive. very good. My dear devotees, if you feel this is good for you to discuss, you can discuss it also after the program is over. You can say, let's finish that. Let us go outside and finish it. My dear devotees, the idea here was, I think, very clear. The sadhu or a devotee who has Krishna in the heart can really help us to see things different. And if we can see things differently, the things we see will be different. I know it's late in the morning, late in the festival. If we see things differently, the things which we see will be different. There will be new things in our life. It is really, this universe is made like this, that everyone gets those experiences which they need in their life. And if you change your vision, if you can learn before the lesson, so to say, which is dished out to you by the material nature, if you don't wish to learn, if you can learn before by introspective insight, or what was the Sanskrit? Pragya Shakshu, no? The eyes of introspection. If you can, then you learn before things happen, and then things don't need to happen. You follow this idea? So therefore this contact with great sadhus is possible, is very helpful. Can we maybe make a little brainstorm? What could be ways in which you can have first class sadhu sangha while not on a festival. Hmm? Prabhupada's books, someone says. Yeah, I'm sorry. Internet YouTube classes, where the first class YouTube classes on the internet. YouTube or other means, live streams. Insta, what is called Insta, chickpea. No, Gram. There are many good things. How else? Travel to Holy Dham and go to places where devotees are, or come perhaps to festivals like this, no? Many of you said to me and other devotees also that you got a lot of this, where so many of us came together and created such a wonderful atmosphere. My dear everyone, all this will be in one ear and out of the other if you don't put this point of pragya shakshu or introspection there. And therefore, I have requested you to look up this verse in your private time to learn a little bit more. You remember the number? It was first canto, 13th chapter, 29th, yes, and purport, of course. The purport is very important. I have another thing of sadhu sangha, where I have a lot of good experience. I think the greatest effect of sadhu sangha takes place when devotees come and sit together and then sing. Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandhava Anuchetya 269 says congregational singing, you know, that is when many come together, is even superior to kirtan, which is performed alone, because it generates such extraordinary feelings. What this feelings is the heart melts. And you may laugh spontaneously, although there is no comics there in the kirtan. You laugh because your heart is melted, and you will have tears in your eyes sometimes, and so on. It comes by kirtan. And we asked ourselves, why? How is it? Well, because in kirtan, you do something like this. This is not drinking water. It is drinking water in small gulps. This is the Ayurvedic way of drinking water, by the way. It purifies the body from toxins, no? So when you drink small, this is what it has a very interesting effect on the body. In Ayurveda, you can read many research. So if you go and take, in kirtan, you take actually Krishna consciousness in small bites to you in your life. Again and again. Again you sing the holy names. And right after it, again. And then right after this, again. Same thing, again and again and again. There is a verse in the 11th canto which says, Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo Viraktiya Anyatra Shesha Eka. It means when you take food with each bite, first there is satisfaction. Oh God. Then comes nourishment. Oh, you feel, you have maybe seen our devotees are well nourished. I was impressed by our devotees, you know. Nourishment, and then relief from hunger happens. Relief from hunger. with each bite. In the same way, when you do kirtan, first you might find some bhakti in your heart, but you continue to take more kirtan, more holy name. Then you might look towards the deity, and as you look towards the deity, you feel he looks back to you. Have you felt that sometimes? Wow, you make advancement. And that is nourishing our Krishna consciousness. When we feel the Lord cares for us, he reciprocates. And finally, this has maybe not happened with all of us, you have relief from hunger. That means you're detached from objects that are not related to Krishna consciousness. But it will also come as you are continuing to take bite by bite the holy name in the association of devotees. If possible, one should sing in the company of devotees who have a good knowledge of music and sweet voice, because it's easier that some feelings come in the heart, and devotees also who share a devotional mood, who are singing for Krishna. Perhaps you see when you are with these devotees come who are a little older and who don't sing because they are, oh my God, now everyone looks at me, I better take care that I brush my teeth before, and so on. There are some of us young people, that is unavoidable, it is, don't fear if you are in that category, who are a little self-centered. But if you are with devotees who sing kirtan for Krishna, oh, it's a whole different experience, no? So if you are in this association, you will see that bit by bit your old habits will be removed, and you will actually feel happiness in Krishna consciousness. So the thing is, my dear devotees, I'm on a call now. I'm already late. I have to go, but I will ask Gaur Krishna. I have told him what melody and what mood, and he will sing. And if you forgive me, I need to go now. I know there are devotees who, those who have an appointment with me in the afternoon, but I forgot I have this call, and so on.